The title I'm going to use in this topic is genetically diverse sources of SCN resistance in soybeans. SCN stands for the soybean system nematode, which is a major pathogen in the United States on soybean. If I can bring up the losses, close to $1 billion on an annual basis, and worldwide much more. Since soybean is grown in heavily in Brazil, Argentina, and China, there the losses are also very heavy, but estimates are not quite easily available. Well, I just want to take a minute to acknowledge my collaborators, Sylvia Arcianzio, from Iowa State University, Grover Shannon from University of Missouri, Vince Pantalone, who is right here, University of Tennessee, Brian Dears, University of Illinois, David Lightfoot from SIU, Warhol Concepido from Monsanto Company, Dechen Wong from Michigan State University, Rauf Mia, ESDAARS Ooster. I also want to acknowledge my longtime collaborator, Dr. David Sleeper, who chose to retire from the University of Missouri very recently. We were together nearly for 15 years, sharing the graduate students and the project clients and the research work. And again, Dr. Randy Nelson, who is a soybean curator, who provides most of the plant introductions to me for my research work. I also want to acknowledge my funding sources. Needless to say, the United Soybean Board, Kelly is right here, I think is a major source of my funding for the past nearly 20 years. Tennessee Soybean Promotion Board, Iowa State University, Pioneer Hybrid International, as well as the Monsanto Company. A brief history of soybean system nematode, how it got started and where it got started. All the reports indicate that soybean system nematode was first observed in North Carolina in 1954, and just imagine where it is now found in the United States. Just about in every soybean growing field in the North America, including the Canada. Soon after this, the sources of resistance were identified. The genetics of resistance was studied and breeding programs were initiated. Of course, the first breeding program initiated was in North Carolina by USDA breeder. This is Ross and Brim. He screened approximately nearly 3,000 soybean accessions and identified Ilsoy peaking PI-84751907 as resistant. And using picking, they developed the first soybean-resistant cultivar picket in 1966. But it was not enough to control the soybean system at all. So Dr. Bernard from University of Illinois and ESDAARS, his group released a Fayette cultivar using a different source called as PI-88788. Soybean PI-437654 was supposed to be have a most comprehensive resistance. He's used to develop Hartwig in 1992, and proud to say my collaboration with that Hartwig release. And of course, PI-437654 is susceptible to a synthetic nematode population, and our efforts are to identify new sources of resistance. Okay, why SCN is a pervasive soybean pest? One estimate states that over 90% of the soybean cultivars developed in this country for resistance to soybean system nematode come from PI-88788. That's the major reason. Due to the widespread deployment of resistance genes, predominantly from this line, the nematode populations continue to respond with phenotypic changes expressed in parasitism. Continued use of peaking and our PI88788 resistance genes is causing frequent population shifts in nematodes because two of the three major genes are in common. If you look at the publication which is cited at the bottom, in 1992, we did some traditional, what you call the allelism test, making crosses between different PI lines to see is there any segregation for resistance. Based on that, we determined PI88 and peaking at least have two major genes in common. And that might be the an important conclusion why the shifts do happen in the nematode population over a period of time. Okay, there are more than 100 soybean accessions we have identified in addition to what were identified in North Carolina earlier. And these are characterized in these two publications in Crop Science in 1997 and 2000. But if you look at the color and what you call the phenotype of these accessions, most of them are commercially have no value, and black seeded or brown seeded, sometimes even green seeded, are mottled at the same time. And if you want to grow them in the field and want to collect some agronomic information, probably you feel like throwing your notepad right there. It's not worth collecting. They're whiny, completely lodging, highly shattering types. But yet, they have the gene pool for nematode resistance. Okay, the question is, can we utilize the remaining sources, you know, in addition to peaking and PI88788? We know that those two lines have two genes, two major genes in common, but at least we would like to use or identify even before to use some lines which are different from peaking and as well as PI88788. Since the traditional studies are going to be very time consuming, the markers were developed, and we used most of the markers in these four different publications that helped us to identify these sources of resistance, which are what we call as a unique sources of resistance, PI507, 354, 567, 516C, 438, 489B, and 437, 655. 567, 328, 89, 772, 22897, also called as Columbia, PI494, 182. All these accessions were provided to me by soybean curator Randy Nelson. And these we call as unique sources would like to utilize in breeding programs. It doesn't mean that they are on a, these are based on the whole genome basis using the markers which are available, close to 800 to 900 markers. The cluster analysis indicated that these may have potentially different genes than what peaking and PI88788 possess. Okay, what did we do? The next step we did is we went ahead and used some of these PR lines to make crosses with the elite cultivars, because the PI lines have no agronomic value except as a source of resistance. So we needed to transfer those resistance genes into high-yielding commercially available cultivars like a HS934118 released by the Ohio State and Hartree. We made a cross with 567516A. We called it as a JTN5109. I just want to remind you, the Hartwig as the source of resistance from PI437654 in the background of Forest. Forest has already as the genes from peaking. But anyway, the Hartwig, when it turned out to be susceptible to a synthetic nematode population, we screened against germplasm collection and found out PI567516C is resistant to synthetic nematode population. The same PI line was also used with a high-yielding cultivar released by Tennessee, Vilspatolone 5601T, and 438-489B was crossed to Hamilton. Hamilton was the high-yielding cultivar released by the University of Illinois. 438-489B is resistant to several nematode populations, as good as a PI 437654. And Hartwig again was crossed to 437655. And 567328, which is a yellow-seeded introduction from Japan, we crossed it to a Tennessee high-yielding line. And PI 89772 is again a resistant source, but there is one unique feature in addition to a bad feature, like a lot, the shattering and a black seed, very poor yield. It's a very highly resistant to a lodging problem. LGON5822 is a high-yielding germplasm released by Curator a couple of years back. He released the segregating population. We went ahead and made some selection, identified single plants which are uniform for the genes fixed, and made a cross to PI88788 to Colombia. Okay, what is the breeding strategy we are adopting for this utilization of the unique nematode-resistant sources? Single plant selection after making crosses, or we can also use the modified bulk selection, selections of progenies from these crosses with the resistance. We go for either in F3-derived F5 lines or F6 or F7 generations. You will see some plants growing in the pots. That's our greenhouse, what we call bioassay. The methods are well established, and we are using our own methods. Confirmation of resistance is a very recent strategy. We use marker-assisted selection. We have developed our own markers for the resistance tagged to nematode resistance. This is followed by station yield trials and ESTA uniform tests and release of germplasms combined with the improved resistance to SCN and high yields. Okay, what is the take-home message? Sources of nematode resistance should be diversified for durable resistance. It's not only applicable to soybean or any other crop. Source materials using diversified sources of resistance, such as those lines we are using in our breeding program, should be encouraged to be utilized. Pyrimidine resistance genes from traditional sources with the genes from diversified sources will be far more effective strategy than either one alone. I just want to acknowledge the help of my technician, Lisa Fritz, who is responsible for handling the program for nearly 10, 11 years. I thank you for your attention, and if you have any questions, I probably will try to answer.